Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatamil anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Sometimes we do acts of generosity and kindness to other people. But there's always a question that are we doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or are we doing it for some personal benefit? You'll find people who are able to donate tens of thousands of dollars, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them. But unfortunately, just because you're donating $10,000 doesn't mean shaitan is going to give up on you. He actually is going to try as hard, if not harder, to figure out a way to create a hole in your sadaqah. That way your charity loses its true weight and how far it can actually take you. Sometimes we do it because we want people to praise us. Other times we give someone our sadaqah or our zakat while hoping that that person will remember that we did them a favor, so now they owe us one. And the ultimate test of sincerity is shown when the person who we gave to is no longer loyal to us. Are we willing to give to them again? We sent sadaqah zakat back home to one of our relatives who needed it for building a home or for a surgery. And then they said something to us, they did something to us that has now hurt us. It's broken your heart. You're angry at them. The next time when the zakat season comes, are you willing to give to them again or not? And this is a powerful test, a very powerful test. Because if you are doing it for the sake of Allah, then your feelings to that person should be irrelevant. But if you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's giving you the reward, and if you believe that that person is the one that you're doing a favor to, naturally you're going to stop giving to them. Now this is an incident that actually played out in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the story is shared with us in the Qur'an. In Surah An-Nur, ayah number 22. If you look at the ayat before this, the verses talk about a great accusation which was made against Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. A group of hypocrites created some false narrative, some false story that wal'ayadu billah, astaghfirullah, Aisha radiallahu anha had an illicit haram relationship. This claim, this accusation caused great pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That someone said something like this about his beloved dear wife to the house of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. If we go through the details of what actually happened, you know, it's a heartbreaking story. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerates Aisha radiallahu anha. Verses in the Quran were revealed. And when the verses were revealed, Aisha radiallahu anha said, I knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would speak on my behalf. I didn't know it would be in the Quran. that people till the end of times will speak of the purity of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. Now that the matter was clear, the family of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu were very upset with those who engaged in the gossip and caused hurt and pain to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their own family. Among the people, unfortunately, who got caught in some of this gossip were some sincere companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find the names of Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, the great poet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have Hamna bint Jahash, who was a sister-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mistah bin Athatha, who was like a cousin slash nephew to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And some of these people were punished actually through lashes because of their gossip and accusations, as the Quran points out in the beginning of Surah An-Nur. Now that that matter is settled, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu turned his attention towards this person, Mistah bin Athatha. He was a relative of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Some riwayat tell us that he was poor growing up, so Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu brought him into his home and financially provided for him. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to provide a meal on the plate of Mistah bin Athatha radiallahu anhu. Now Mistah radiallahu anhu got caught in this accusation. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu confronted him. And he said, after all these years of me supporting you, this is what you do? You get involved with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You extend your tongue against my daughter? In one riwayah, Mistah radiallahu anhu said, I did no such thing. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, but you gave audience to the people who did speak. You sat there and you smiled at their words. You entertained them, you engaged them. My daughter, my family, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, I swear by Allah, I will never spend a penny on you again. Pack your bags, get out of my house. Mistah radiallahu anhu was broken. Where would he go? No money, no family to fall onto. He didn't have great support. He didn't have the means that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had. He said to him, Abu Bakr, please reconsider. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu made it abundantly clear that you will leave the house. We're done. I will never give to you again. Wallahi, I will not give to you again. He took an oath. Now in a moment like this, a person's truthfulness and their sincerity is tested. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu's logic was that these people violated the sanctity of the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore they caused hurt to the Prophet of Allah, and as a part of his loyalty to the Prophet of Allah, he was going to disconnect from these people, cut away from these people. Now Mistah is leaving the home, and not too long after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He says, Abu Bakr, rethink what you've done, take it back. Abu Bakr says, O Messenger of Allah, what are you speaking of? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just revealed an ayah in the Quran. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ يَأْتَلِ is from uluwa, which means yahlif. وَلَا يَحْلَفِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ, that those people of grace and wealth and honor should not take oaths against giving to ulul qurba, to their close relatives, wal masakin, and to the poor, wal muhajirin, and to those that have migrated, fi sabilillah, because he was a poor man, Mistah, he was a migrant, he was a muhajir himself, and he was also a relative of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. That, oh Abu Bakr, are you going to turn away from this man who did hijrah for the sake of Allah? He made a mistake, but are you going to turn away from him? What about him being a miskeen? What about him being a relative of yours? Now imagine you were in this position, what would you do? How hard would it be to continue to contribute towards someone who made your daughter cry, who brought pain to your daughter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, people of grace and honor should learn to forgive and pardon. They should pardon and forgive. But how does a person do that when your heart is so heavy? The next part of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the incentive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, don't you want Allah to forgive you too? No matter how heavy your heart feels, whatever crime they've committed, you've committed much greater against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as they say in Arabi, الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ, that your reward will be based off of the type of action you did in the world. Someone who gives another person clothing in the world, Allah will give them a garment to wear in the hereafter. Someone who quenches another person's thirst in the world, Allah will quench their thirst in the hereafter. You forgive someone in the world, you think you can outdo Allah, one up Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive you in the hereafter? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives and He is all merciful. This ayah is a powerful ayah for us all. And it comes with a powerful story. First and foremost, we learn the lesson of maintaining ties. How many of us, unfortunately, have broken families because of something that happened some time back? And the truth is, if you were to recollect it, not every party even remembers what actually happened. Probably some misunderstanding. Ultimately, something insignificant and not worthy of you putting yourself at the crossroads of the fire of hell in the hereafter. And then what happens is, the worst part is, and I hear this from young folks myself, that my father has forbade me from speaking to my uncle. My father has forbade me from speaking to my aunt. My mother tells me I can't call my cousins anymore. What kind of nonsense is this? Where did this come from? Do parents now believe that they have the right to override the command of Allah? How did that happen? Do we not see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to join ties with everyone? If you have a disagreement with someone, first and foremost, you should solve that disagreement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَن يَهْجُرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَنْ هَجَرَ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. It is not permissible for a Muslim to separate in conversation and be at crossroads with his brother for more than 3 days. And if 3 days do pass by and you die, you will enter into the fire of hell. This is a sahih riwayah. A clear narration from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only do we engage in hijran and breaking away family ties, but we have the audacity to set our children up for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. What a sad situation. Do we not see this ayah of the Quran? أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. No matter how hard your heart is, no matter how heavy it feels in this moment, I want you to always think of this. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? And as wrong as that person may have been, as much as they may have hurt you, try to remember that you most likely have violated the right of Allah much more. Now I'm going to close this discussion with one caveat, one exclusion. And that is, if someone has abused you in a way that they have hurt you, and those people are toxic in the sense that every time you speak with them or meet with them, they will continue to hurt you, in Islam, then you have the right to cut off from such a person. Do you guys understand? This falls under the riwayah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. There is no causing harm to other people, and neither should you be reciprocated with harm. If you have a father who was a drug addict, if you have a father who has sexually abused someone, and you fear that being near that man will harm you, in Islam, now you have permission to stay away from such a person. Even then, the ulama, they say, it's best every now and then to send assalamu alaikum and just ask how they're doing. Even then, the bare minimum, right? So other than that sort of an extreme case where there is clear harm that a person fears from interacting with another person, as for disagreements and potential harm and discomforts, those exist in every relationship. Let's use the mercy of the month of Ramadan, the spirit of the month of Ramadan, and the message of this beautiful ayah to mend our relationships before this month ends. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.